This is Velvet, and this is episode 10 of August 15th, 2012. And today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do an interview. And I'm getting interviewed along with my partner, Stuart, by Adam Foster, the producer of Out Loud Shows. We have some questions, or actually he has some questions, and he's going to fire away, and I know you all want to hear it.
Is Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.
All right, you guys, are you ready for this?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So we may as well start right from the beginning, Stuart. How you met Velvet, where you met, and just tell us a little bit about how it sort of unfolded.
Where I'm at. That's a secret.
Where you were at, not where you are at, where you were at. So how did you meet? Where were you and how were you sort of introduced?
How did we meet? Well, I was in Edmonton at the time working and went through a few relationships like everybody else does. And I was a single free man. So instead of going to the bars, I was in my late 20s. And I started looking elsewhere, hearing on websites and all these other fun places where to meet.
So why websites and stuff as opposed to, I mean, you're a young guy as opposed to just the usual bars and that
kind of thing. You go to a bar and like all of us, I think we go with the excitement of picking someone up. And in order to pick someone up, we have a few drinks and we have a few more. Liquid courage always helps. And at the end of the night, sometimes you go home or sometimes you go home with someone that you wake up the next morning and kind of say, what did I do? So I hear this and, you know, you start wondering where else you can go. Well, you can go to functions, sporting functions. You can go to dances, other things that are put on. I preferred to go on a website because I could go home at my leisure when I want. I didn't need to be having a beer unless I came home from work and said, hey, let's have a beer and look for who's out there.
So what kind of websites were you looking at?
I looked at a few. I looked at...
You're under oath, by the way.
Under oath. I got to tell the truth. No, I started actually with a variety. I went on, I can't remember what they were called. One was free one. It was called Plenty of Fish. Other one was some of those other ones out there. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
So these are standard dating websites we're talking about here. Nothing specific, nothing gender specific.
No eHarmony, actually. I signed up on something like that, and then I signed up on something a little more wild called Adult Friend Finder. Mm-hmm. It caters the same way, but it you can kind of, in your profile, you can kind of say sexually what you like. You can put on pictures of your body or whatever. So, you know, I thought I'd try them all out. Well, I found out that I liked the Adult Friend Finder more because people really put on there what they like besides, I like to go traveling, I like to go shopping. You really found out about the person. So I got on there and started having some fun getting to know people. And I started browsing.
When you say getting to know people?
I send them an email, like a
actually meeting people, going out, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I met, I think, four people and liked it so far, but I didn't find someone who really intrigued me, so I just kept up with the search.
And, now, these are all women?
Women, yeah. Right. Yeah, okay. That's right. And as I kept searching, you know, you're having fun and you're exploring, and I felt really good about it, so... You know, you start seeing on there, it would be like abbreviated T for man and transsexual for man or man for transsexual. So I was like, well, what's this about? So I was really having fun with it at that time, right? You know, and I'm like, well, let's check it out.
Had you had any curiosity up to that point about transsexuals or anything sort of off the beaten track?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean...
So this was something that interested you anyway, right?
Yeah,
so you naturally gravitated towards that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it interested me. I mean, lesbians interested me too. I mean, all of us guys, always our biggest fantasy is a threesome with two other women, right? And have them get it on too, right? So, yeah, all that stuff. Basically, I found out in my early 20s, people who were really open and really confident in themselves and had a good look. You know, it's being proud about who you are. And I did find that out at a young age. I do have to bring this up because it actually really opened my mind. When I was 15 or 16, I can't remember, we went out to my mom's old farmhouse to pick stones for her fish pond. And the old farmhouse was still standing, and I found a stack of Playboy magazines that was probably 4 feet tall. Whoa. And nice at that find. Age, I, yeah, I thought that was like the gold find. Jack I found Bob. The treasure. Mm-hmm. So
I was dealing with the Sears catalog, and you had Playboy.
I said, I was going finding rocks in hidden places, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going over here to find a rock. And I ran in the house and put a couple magazines in my pants and ran out and hid them under the truck.
But that was all heterosexual pornography, right?
Well, I don't know. It was like I flipped through it, and yeah, it was all heterosexual. And then when I got to the back, I remember there's all these other advertisements, right, in the pornography industry, right? So mm-hmm. seeing all these advertisements, transsexuals, dominatrix, women in really kinky lingerie, people getting tied up, spanked, all these things.
Did you find that more interesting than the rest of the content of the magazines, or were you?
Yeah, much more. Oh, like okay. I seen a naked, beautiful woman was a close second, but I found all these other things, and I started going in my head. I was like, that's kind of cool.
So going back to Adult Friend Finder, who contacted who? Who sent the initial message?
I sent her the initial message. So
okay, Velvet. You know, so when you uh-huh. received the message, what was your response, and sort of how did
when
you
know? I got the message?
Yes.
Well, I just according to
you're
him,
she turned me down.
Yeah,
twice.
I blew it off. Oh. I blew the first message off.
Why?
And I mean, but I don't even recall, and I don't even, like, he says that I blew it off, but I don't recall even doing that because, I mean, having a look at the picture that he actually sent, and I look back on it, it's just like, I would have responded pretty much right away because it's like, wow, look at that body, blah,
us
blah,
men
blah.
Have to tease a little bit.
You know, it looked really good and stuff like that, but so I don't recall blowing him off the first time around, but then the second time he sent me a message, and I pretty much responded right away and said, you know, what's going on?
Okay, I have to ask you, why were you on there? I mean, because I from what I know of you, I'm actually surprised that you were on there because, well, I mean, you seem to be very active in the community. I would guess you meet a lot of people. Why were you,
I am very active in the community. And one of the questions or the corrections that I need to do is it was actually alt.com, which is actually a subsidiary of Adult Friend Finder. And that's where he actually found me. And the reason I was on there, even though, I mean, the community in here in Vancouver, the community is still pretty small, and it's very backstabbing, very cutthroat and things like that. And I kind of want to look outside the backyard of the community that I was already a part of and the individuals that I already knew. So I wanted to see if there was somebody else out there that I was going to have fun, you know, just for mm-hmm. casual hookups and play and stuff like that. And, you know, I certainly met my fair share of people through there, and not always people that I get together, because, I mean, I remember meeting some of these people that they send you these hot pictures, the proverbial, ooh, yeah, they look so good, and you meet up with them. I mean, I remember one guy in particular that I was sitting at the cafe waiting for, and that's where I always set up my meetings. And he's tapping me on the shoulder, and I look up and like, who, what the fuck? You look nothing like your picture. This is so not going to work out, dude. So
Photoshop.
Big time. You know, here I'm looking this gut in the face, and then this, you know, greasy-haired individual who looked nothing like this, you know.
It's a rare experience. So you were on there to, were you looking for a partner? Were you looking for sex?
I was looking for sex and
well,
fun.
Well, define fun. Okay.
Yeah, right. You know, so sex and fun and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I was looking for stuff outside of the realm of, you know, the paid situation, because doing professional domination for a number of years, I mean, you know, you end up providing stuff for individuals that may not be within your, how should I say, your preferences, right?
Stuart, were you on there for fun, or were you on there to find a significant other?
I was on there initially for fun, and I thought in the end, if it turns into something, that's great. But I started out, yeah, as fun, and I wanted to meet people. Stemming back from when I told you about the magazine, it really opened my mind at a young age, but I didn't act on it until when I met her, and that's
so you never had you ever been with a transsexual before you met
no
Velvet. Okay,
no.
And this was your first sort of exposure,
yeah,
at that point.
Yep.
So this must have been quite the deal for you.
It was pretty overwhelming. I mean, I initially have a huge attraction to females, and what it stems from is actually how I met her. I thought she looked fabulous on the profile. Mm-hmm. And most of us are drawn first by visual. Mm-hmm. You look at the visual. If you like it, you do more. You read, you research. So mm-hmm. I looked at her and I didn't have enough guts the first time to send her a message, but I looked and then I was nervous and I looked again and I couldn't believe how beautiful she was as a woman. And then I read her profile. Shucks. And when I read her profile, I wanted to send a message, and it was just me being open.
But you obviously knew.
I actually didn't know what the differences were. I was just intrigued by her looks, and mm-hmm. she just sounded like such a cool person.
She's got a good look.
So at that point, like, as far as a transsexual, I didn't know all the meanings of it. At that point, I was just really open to people. I'm not attracted to men. But what was drawing me in was I just felt such a desire to meet open-minded people.
So how do you define your sexuality? Sorry, how do you define your sexuality then? In your mind,
it's in my mind. Yeah.
Are you bisexual? Are you
no
heterosexual?
Not bi, but it's like I don't know if there's. I don't even know. I haven't done even enough research on what I like. Like I find transsexuals very beautiful. I find like and when I read her profile, she educated me on post-op transsexuals, pre-op transsexuals, and all that stuff. I knew I wasn't really sexually interested in finding someone with a penis or like a cross-dresser. But I do, when they have a good look, I do appreciate it very much. But like as far as a really full-figured woman look goes, that's what I was into, and I was willing to meet her and see where things went, because sometimes...
So you were shopping for something without a penis, eh?
Yeah, initially, okay. But mm-hmm. I was drawn to her and I didn't know everything. I just looked at her pictures and I read her profile. I'm like, wow, you know?
So you met post-op though, right? You two met, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so everything was sorted
mm-hmm. yeah.
at the point that you met. So, okay, so you
But I didn't know that at the time.
You didn't know what?
No, that she was post-op. Like, I didn't know the difference of the meaning.
So what did you... What was your thought?
I was nervous because I didn't know if she'd have a penis or a vagina. But at that point, I was so interested in her that I just had to find out more.
How long were you communicating back and forth before you actually met?
Probably a month and a half.
Yeah, about a month and a half.
Is this emails or on the site kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, it was on the site, and then it was emails a lot for probably the first week or two. And then we gave each other our phone numbers, and then it was phoning most of the time.
And where did you go for the first day?
I flew to Vancouver.
Well, where were you?
Oh, I was in Edmonton, Alberta.
Oh, okay, that's important.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so you actually flew... Oh, I see. Okay, that's even more interesting.
Yeah.
So you flew into Vancouver for the date.
For the date.
That's why you came here.
Yeah.
Wow, you are dedicated. So where did you go? What did you do?
Actually, I met her at Moxie's on Davie Street when she was still working at Pre-Op, the men's underwear store, and I hung out in there, and it was all exciting. It was for anyone, if I could go back and relive that experience, it was awesome. I'd do it over and over, but the only thing that happened to me was we all get the nervous jitters, right? I didn't get them before. I got them right when the plane was landed. That was like...
Were you having second thoughts? Or
yeah. From the topic she discussed earlier about meeting people, you know, you're saying who all these people are. You see these brilliant, beautiful pictures, and you read this amazing profile. What if it's Photoshopped? What if this is just made up?
And that's a long way to go for a Photoshop.
I'm going, well, what if that happens?
You obviously met. You sort of laid eyes on each other. Velvet, what was your impression?
Well, I mean, I wasn't going into this with any expectations. I mean, you know, the only thing I was thinking is like, well, what if it doesn't work out and he's coming to stay here and stay at my house? Is he going to be able to get a hotel room? That was what was going through my head.
But so you arranged for him to stay at your house?
Well, we hadn't really discussed it. It was sort of like an unspoken thing that's what was going to be happening. But when he came into when I was working at the store, he came up behind me very eager. And, you know, there are certain key elements in my life that I remember when I meet people for the first time. And I remember the look on his face. He was seriously happy. grin from ear to ear. And the first things that I've noticed, like, you're a tall one, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, I am. But you knew that. I hope that you knew that. And he was really cute and stuff. And I just said to him, go hang out next door. I'll be done in 45 minutes, but don't get too drunk. That was what I was. Because, you know, I mean, I was thinking to myself, too. This is like the first time jitters and drinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I know myself, I need some liquid courage to sit with people sometimes for the first time. And, yeah. And I thought he was really, really cute. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to scream through the date here. So you went out, you had a few drinks. I have to assume he didn't go stay in a hotel.
No,
at that point, it was going pretty good.
It was quite a whirlwind that whole first day there, because we were going to see a friend of mine who was competing in a bodybuilding competition in New West. And the next thing I know, we end up, well, after a few drinks, one thing leads to another, back at the house, starting to go at it. And I'm like, oh, we got to stop. We got to be on the SkyTrain out to New West to go see the bodybuilding competition that's going on there. Whoa, okay. So,
and Stuart, you were thrilled?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Well, no, when she's talking about, you had to stop and go to New West and watch a bodybuilding competition.
No, not at that point, because this is about an hour and a half after we met, and I never thought this happened to me, like you see on the movies when people met and the lust and love, and it carries you into the bedroom within an hour and a half, and that's where we ended up.
Okay.
And then she told me we had to go to this bodybuilding contest. That's not good when a guy's right in his glory moment, right?
He's in denial.
So you went to the bodybuilding thing.
Yes.
You returned.
Yes.
So at this point in time, like for you, Stuart, this is very new for you.
Yes.
I mean, this whole thing.
100%.
You know, Velvet, obviously, you've this is not as new for you as it is for him. So how was that? Without sort of getting, you know, into like too graphic here, I suppose, but, you know, for you as a man, as a heterosexual man, how was that experience for you? And I'm talking about the sex here, of course.
Yeah, it was amazing. I couldn't tell a difference between all the genetic women I've been with in my past and her. And I remember, you know, like you said, this is all new. I still had a few thoughts when she was taking off her clothes. Oh. What's she going to be like down there? You know, like I wasn't nervous that I would close the door on her, but you know, it's like,
were you preoccupied by your curiosity? Do you know what I mean? Or were you just so charged up that you were just sort of
both, but I was a little, I'd say a little more on the pre curious thing, like, you know, because
you just didn't know what to expect.
I didn't know what to expect. And when she was standing there naked in front of me, I just said to her, I said, wow, I would never know. And you're beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
And, that's really did how it happened from the bottom of my heart. And, you know, you just can't... It told me a lot of things that you can't judge a book by its cover. Sometimes when you go in and read it, it's like, wow, you know, I shouldn't have thought that, or I shouldn't have. Because when I was landing and told you I was real nervous, I was getting real nervous and almost like, wow, what am I doing? And then I thought real quick, you know what? I did all this up till now. Whatever. If it doesn't work, I'm going to stay in a hotel and have an awesome time because this is my holiday. And I didn't need to do that anyways, but it just changed my mind thought, right?
So I'm guessing it worked out.
It worked out real well, yeah.
Okay. So, of course, you know, obviously you got together, you liked each other, and, you know, something was there and a relationship was born. But, of course, there are other issues that you, Stuart, would have to deal with, and that is, of course, family, friends. You know, I mean, you had to tell your mom and dad or whomever, your family members.
Absolutely.
I mean, some people understand, some people don't. I mean, it's, you know, that's just the way it is. So what kind of response did you get from your family when you explained what was going on?
Well, just to be real short here, I waited for about 3 months before I told my immediate family, only for the reason being, I really had to know in my heart if I do love this girl, you know, and... When I knew that or felt really strongly that I want to go forward and just see where it takes me is when I told my family. And yes, I was nervous. I had a few ideas. You always have a few ideas in your family of who's going to take it you think better, who may not take it. Or
who took it the worst?
The worst? To be honest with you, they were all amazing. It drew me so much closer to my family every day. I could hug them with so much love because sometimes that, to me, that was one of the real tests of how much my family loves me.
So Velvet, you've met
Yeah, everyone in
Stuart's family.
I mean, if I can add to what Stuart's saying as well, I mean, that was one of my prerequisites as well to meeting his family. I made him tell them because I didn't want to have any unforeseen questions or some awkward moments that would arise when we were there and we were all together with his family, because as much as I was looking forward to seeing them, stuff like that does happen. And it's, you know, I don't want to be put on the spot. And I think, in all honesty, that he put himself through the most panic in regards to dealing with it. And, you know, in sharp contrast to what my family did and presented to me with certain members of my family, they were, wow, so seriously welcoming with open arms, to the point where it was emotional for me to go and meet these people that I'd never met before in my life. And
okay, so Stuart's family is comprised of mom, dad, sister, brothers, what?
Mom, two sisters, and a brother.
Okay. And the brother was fine? Is the brother older, younger?
He's a year and a half younger than
me. Okay, and sisters older, younger?
Two older sisters.
So everyone was...
Everyone was great. The only thing they said to me was, as long as you're happy, Stu, we're happy, and we trust in you, what you like. And most emotional that I got was out of my mom, because I was the most emotional with her, because she's the first one I told, because she's my mom. And I remember I was thinking about it all night. And like,
how did you phrase it? What did you say to your mom?
I got like really upset and just said, Mom, I got to tell you something. And then I kind of swore a little bit, and she's like, well, what is it? I said, well, you know, I was so emotional, and I was really like, I was almost in between upset and anxious just to get it over with. And she said, if you have something to tell me, just tell me. So I just broke down and just flat out told her. I said, the girl I'm dating is a transsexual, and I said, I don't know if you know what that means. And she says, yeah, I do. And then I explained, we're all males and females are born with chromosomes, XY genes. And I explained it in that sense to her, because she's a nurse, and she got it 100%.
She's a nurse, but that must have helped.
Oh, huge. Yeah. But I was so upset, and all the biggest part I remember is she looked at me right in the eyes and said, Stuart, and slapped both of her hands on her legs and said, do you think I would judge you or get upset at you for what you like? She says, I trust you and love you. And she says, as long as you're happy, that's what counts. And she says, I'm looking forward to meeting her. Those are pretty much her exact words.
So, Velvet, when you met Stuart's family, did you sense any kind of curiosity or anything on their part? I mean, there must have been obviously some curiosity. Where are your family, Stuart?
My mom's living back in Saskatchewan.
So small town, big town?
Small town. It's a farming and potash community. And then my brother and my one sister live in Edmonton, and my other sister, she lives in Penticton, BC.
Okay, so for you, Velvet, when you first met them, you said they were gracious, they were accepting and stuff, but did you sense any kind of curiosity? And even more so, you know, did anyone have any questions for you?
They didn't really have any questions for me right off the bat. I mean, you know, I do suffer from terminal glamazon attitude, you know, but anyway, so I'm always, I like to be well put together on a regular basis. And sometimes, you know, I know that some people think to me, well, can't you just be yourself? Well, this is myself. But as time went on, the odd question would come up here and there, but I don't think they are interested, and I will answer their questions, because as long as they're happy, they know who I am, they know what I'm all about. And Stuart, I think, answered those questions pretty readily. I think the one person that I was a little bit apprehensive about meeting was the oldest sister, because I had heard so much about her, and, you know, she's a strong woman and she's a teacher, doing her different things, and I didn't know what to expect with her. But we hit it off right away. You know, she took me aside and she said to me too, she was one of the only ones that I actually had a real conversation with about it. She says, I didn't know what to expect from you. I'd heard all this stuff. And, you know, sometimes you go and look online and you don't see the most feminine of individuals that present themselves. And she says, but with you, I have no worries, and I know you'll look after my brother really well. And she was so thrilled. And we talked a little bit about personal issues between her brother and her and myself and all this other stuff. And, you know, she was very happy that I was strong and like-minded and very good. And, you know, the only thing that she did actually say was, I don't get what you're interested in terms of your personal interests, but that's okay. That's your stuff. So,
okay, you mentioned online. you have an online presence.
Mm-hmm.
Was that an issue at all at any point with anyone?
For me, it wasn't an issue because I've always been up front and up, you know, and out there with myself. And I believe in the promotion of, you know, healthy sex and healthy sex lives and healthy sexuality. And I do, you know, the family, his family, even my family knows everything of what I'm all about and what I'm up to. And, you know, my father, for my own intents purposes, will say things now and then where he's usually 100% supportive, but he's like, oh, you're always all about this sex stuff. When are you just going to be real? And I'm like, well, Dad, I am real. And his family has said, well, you know, we know you got stuff online there. I mean, we're not interested in seeing it, but the advice stuff, I'm interested in hearing it. Absolutely, for sure. There is one person in the family that, if I can say this, his brother-in-law, he does his homework, and he found out a few things on the internet that really totally surprised the two of us in regards to the communities that we are a part of and the play communities and the information that was out there. So I was a bit surprised about that, but in general, there was no negativity whatsoever.
So he was curious or amused or...
Curious, and I would say curious first, but at the same time, there's you know, a hint of amusement underneath it all. But,
and know, perhaps some interest?
Could be.
Who knows?
Exactly. Don't really Who know. Knows?
Okay, Stuart, for you, workmates and your friends, male friends, what kind of response did you get from them? Did you get anything negative, or was it...
I usually go just by feeling and working with people. Sometimes you got to work with people for a little while until you get to you get to know them, right? You're working with them. Hmm. And I just go by judging them. And sometimes you're pretty quick. I can tell the people who just won't care and just be your buddy, like, just, well. Or I can tell the people who won't. So I usually judge it by that. Usually I just wait till that moment and I tell a few people, but usually I just don't even bother with it. Now I just go about life as she's introduced as my girl. And because I probably would lose my mind if I was thinking about always telling everybody.
Benjamin has a question. That's my dog, Benjamin, in the background. Any negative? Have you had any negative?
A little bit. Like, the only negative that really comes across my way is I've heard, so Stu, you're not bi though. And it's like,
does that bother you when people ask you that? Are you sensitive about that?
It doesn't bother me if they ask me once or even twice and get some information from me, because I'm always going to tell the truth. But then if they ask me again and again, it's like, the only response I have is, look at my girlfriend. What does she look like to you? A woman. Yeah. She's a post-operative transsexual. She's a woman. That's what I like. Initially, yeah, I was just, I'm an open-minded guy, and I started realizing it in my 20s, just saying, hey, everyone out there has something cool to offer you, you know? So, yeah, when they don't get it, and I try and tell them what I like and where I found her and blah, 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 and then I'm with her, should say something. And I truly admit when I tell people, I just tell them up front, yeah, I'm bi. Mm-hmm. I'm not bi, sorry. I like what I like, and that's that.
Have you had problems with people? Have you had any confrontations or?
Not yet. I actually thought there may be, but not yet.
Well, how long have you been together?
It's going on 5 years.
And you haven't had any sort of...
Actually, I did this summer. Yes, I did. I had someone, actually, I didn't hear the comment, but she did. She heard the comment, and it was under another woman's breath, and she said, tranny. To her, and
a stranger?
Yeah. One of those sneezing kind of tranny, you know, under her breath as she walks into the apartment building. I mean, and
I'm not familiar with the sneezing tranny.
it's like fuck you very much, you know, at the dinner table when a waiter is like, you need to get tipped a little or whatever. I don't know, but that was the first time that I actually had seen him. I call him my pit bull for all intents and purposes, because he is a pit bull, and I'm like a Siamese cat walking around the fence taunting him.
Did you confront this woman? He did.
And I was...
And what did you say?
Well, you know, I was always worried about this, that this may happen someday, and inevitably it does, because not everybody's accepting. But I did confront her that I would be protective of her. But when she sensed it a few times, she's everyone, you know, in the end, you should be proud of who you are and what you're about and walk down the street proud. And when you hear comments, whatever, you shrug it off. That's how she is 99% of the time. But for some reason, that time it affected her. And
so Velvet, Velvet, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was your response? Were you upset? Were you pissed off?
Well, I think I take more of it on my own because I am pretty strong to walk loud and proud and be who I am down the street and stuff like that. But every now and then your guard is, you're caught off guard and you feel vulnerable. And I'm going to give another example here. There was another individual in Stuart's life who did, you know, question whether or not Stuart was okay and getting into a relationship with me was the right thing. And I was more upset by that than I believe Stuart was, because he dealt with it and shrugged it off. And I really applaud him for that, because he certainly came across as so strong. And then when this individual on the street happened to me, because I don't believe that Stuart had actually been exposed to complete strangers going out of their way to get into my space and say something. And there it happened. And when he confronted them, I was deflated. I felt worthless is what I need to say. And walking down the street in a city that I feel very comfortable, because I feel comfortable generally everywhere, but you know, there is always something that somebody says, and I hear it every day. I hear it every day of my life. Someone says something under their breath behind me. And you know what? My ears are very acute to the point where I can hear that. I hear the negative comments and I generally shrug them off. But this time I couldn't let it go. And all of a sudden, I'm just, deflated, walking with my head down.
Did you say anything at all to her?
I didn't say a word. I just wanted to just keep on walking to where we were going. We were going to our friend's place. But before I even had an opportunity to say anything, Stuart was across the street, right in their face, confronting them with it. And, you know,
what was the response to that, Stuart?
They were pretty nervous. Generally, I go by her feelings. And that time, she didn't even have to say anything to me. She just looked like someone got killed around her. She was so emotional, and for some reason my instinct, it just carried me over to her, and I confronted her in a way like she said tranny under her breath, and I just said, hey. And she kind of looked around, and as I was walking really fast paced up to her, I said, yeah, you. And I said, you just made a comment to someone back there. She's like, no, I didn't. I said, actually, that's my girlfriend. You called her a tranny under your breath, and she heard it, and you really hurt her feelings. I was really loud when I was saying it, but...
Was she apologetic or was she just embarrassed?
She looked really uncomfortable and embarrassed, and there was a gentleman standing with her, and she kept denying it, and I said, she heard what she heard. I didn't hear it, but I believe her because she's my girlfriend, and she hears that a lot. And I told her to show some respect when she's walking around on the street, because everyone deserves to be out here.
I've got to say, I'm surprised. Yeah. I mean, you've been together for 5 years. That's the single... occasion you've had.
Well, I think
any confrontation, any issues and stuff, which is great, which is, I suppose, reflective of what the city or the circles you happen to be in. I'm not sure, but that's pretty good.
You are right, though. It has happened. I think I've missed it because she has said things to me where people have said something, and I don't know. I guess when we're walking on the street, all I focus is on me and her and our happiness and stuff, and I don't pay attention to any of it. And, you know, any listeners out there right now, all I can say in the end sometimes is, who cares about everybody else's comment? But when you feel it's right for you to stick up for who you are, do it. And do it adult. Do it professionally. I made this woman almost cry, and I didn't say any mean words. I didn't call her down. I didn't threaten her.
Were you shouting?
I wasn't shouting. I was raising my voice loud like this, but times it by five, maybe. I did want to embarrass her a little bit so that she won't do it again and respect everybody when she walks down the street. You know, if I scream like a kid and swear at her, I mean, what? She's going to think I'm just like everybody else or the girl that she just said that to, right?
Right, right. So. Okay. We'll try to be a little more positive here now. get away from all the bad stuff. So, I would think that... A question that people would have for you, Stuart, that they probably wouldn't want to ask you is the difference, if there is one, between sex with a woman and sex with a transsexual. Is there a difference? Do you feel a difference, mentally or physically?
I think in different people who are transsexuals, there would be a difference, but I've only been with her and my feelings... And what I've experienced with her up till now, to me, there hasn't been any type of a difference. She's almost more feminine than genetic women when she's doing her thing because she's more concerned about it, to be as feminine as she can. And I get that. But in general, no, like I haven't. And in the beginning, to be honest with you, I was worried about it. I'm like, oh, what if she gets hair growing here? What if she gets a lot of hair growing on her arms or her mustache, you know, because I'm new and I'm like, and in 4.5 years, I've never seen it. She's just like, all I can say is she's just like everybody else.
That so, no, I think what you're trying to say is no, there isn't any difference.
Yeah, no, there's, okay. it's, but I mean, she's the only one I've been with. I'm sure there's people out there that there would be significant difference.
If I can interject in here as well, I mean, another one of my best friends there, I know him and Stuart were both having conversations about me from the start in regards to, you know, I was always looking for something that she would slip up that would indicate that she was a guy or is a guy underneath all that stuff.
Like what kind of, what do you mean?
I mean, just mannerisms, actions, talking, all these other different things and hair and stuff like that. And they both agreed that there was never anything that I slipped up. And I mean,
so you were on your guard.
Well, I was on my guard, but I mean,
but isn't that you? Isn't that you?
That's just me. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with the fact of being, you know, a man or not, because if you're a woman and whatever it is, and for all intents and purposes of whatever your definition of a woman is, but your mannerisms are that they are of that person that you are and you know yourself to be. And
when you were a man, you were, I'm guessing, effeminate.
Oh, extremely.
Right. So I suppose these were your qualities prior to this transition. Mm-hmm. This was you.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, Stuart, since you met Velvet, life has changed. Yep. I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I'm not just talking about, you know, the relationship and you know, and all the stuff we've been talking about. I mean, I'm assuming here that your introduction to some of the things that Velvet was involved in was for that very reason. I mean, it was because you were now with Velvet and she was sort of bringing you in, sort of into her world. Is that true or no?
That's absolutely true. Yes.
So prior to meeting her, would you define yourself as, you know, sort of small town? And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but I mean just sort of, you know, regular heterosexual relationships, certainly no bondage or any of that kind of stuff, or what?
Actually,
what was your life prior to meeting Velvet?
I was getting a lot more experimental. My ex-girlfriend before her, I really opened it up because I just couldn't hold it in anymore. And I really just wanted to press the envelope, I mean, behind closed doors in the bedroom. And I did find some women that were really open to it.
So what aspects of your sexuality were you...
Like just bondage and role playing. I mean, yeah, I like to wear women's panties sometimes too.
So
and her making me like her little girlfriend once in a while and just role playing, doing different things like that.
So dominance, submission.
Yeah. Like, and I really liked it. I just couldn't hide it anymore, and I just started.
So this was an interest for you prior. Obviously. And these were things that you'd experimented with prior to meeting Velvet.
Yeah.
Would you say that maybe Velvet helped you step it up a notch or no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it really helped.
I knew you were going to say that.
It really helped that someone was just as eager and interested in it about as me. I mean, I like normal sex just as much, but I mean, this just adds to the pie when it's, you know, you can feel some just fun, playful things in your life that doesn't hurt anybody and you can keep it in your own home. Why not? It's just more fun.
So Velvet, what did you introduce Stuart to? What?
Well, I think what I introduced him to was the fact that I wanted to nurture everything. So, you know, a loving, caring, nurturing environment for him to actually grow with his interests. And he's got some very specific interests. And I mean, one of them happens to be his dressing for pleasure aspect. So he likes his fetish clothes. He's got quite a bit of it. And his closet, it's starting to rival mine when it comes to his dressing up.
And he didn't have these clothes prior to meeting you.
He didn't have that much, no. Well,
that much, but he did. So, Stuart, you weren't sort of... I mean, you were into this, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
This was definitely your interest and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but once you met Velvet, of course, it was sort of
because I could just be myself. I won't have to keep it hidden in a closet. Like I can, if I want, I can just wear it around the house whenever I want, or I can come up to her and say, "Hey, let's play," like right in the middle of the living room, because she's just as into it as I am. And it's a really good feeling, you know?
Would you say there was more acceptance within Velvet's circle of friends that you may have had previously?
as far as the friends go, 100%. Like, I mean, the friends in the past I had, they'd be accepting of it. They just won't want to hear a lot of it. Like, and I'm not going to tell anyone details, but, you know, they'd just be like, oh, that's cool. And they were. They were all really great, too. But her friends are just, like, it's another level, you know? Sometimes they're the ones who are asking me details because they all think we're a sexy couple. It's like, well, no, that's just for us. Sorry.
So what,
that's my question. What? Okay.
So what aspects of your sexuality do you think you have, you've developed since you met Velvet? What things do you feel you've sort of experimented with? I mean, how have you developed sexually, I suppose, is what I'm really trying to ask, is how have you developed sexually since you met Velvet? And I'm assuming all for the better, right?
All for the better. Much more exploration as far as me and her go while we're playing, being open to try new things, because really, if you've never tried it, how do you know if you like it? I mean, there was always things I was pretty open, but she just took me to another level of my mind going, well, that ain't going to feel good. That's going to hurt, or that's going to sting, or I'm not going to like that massage there.
Was there assumption on your part, Velvet? I mean, you were obviously doing things with Stuart that he was probably enjoying, but I mean, you know, were you actually getting together discussing these things prior, or was it just, develop and evolve?
We would discuss. I mean, I always play the game of 20 questions, and I want to know exactly what my, you know, play partners are doing. And I mean, when I say play partners, yes, I mean, people that I've been together with prior to Stuart, and some during, and, you know, and that we've had together. But even prior to that with, you know, clients, there's always that negotiation process. And I know there were certain things that we were doing, even though we talked about that.
These are your bondage clients, right?
Yeah. And you know, my fetish clients and stuff like that. But even with Stuart and playing and stuff like that, there's been times where things I've been doing to him that I thought were good. I mean, in haste and my excitement, I hurt him. And I'm very much about, well, you know, I'm sharing this. I'm very much about, you know, body exploration of different kinds of cavities on the body and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And
that doesn't really tell us much.
Well, I'm very much into anal play on the man and prostate stimulation and things like that. And there's also things that I know that I've played around with Stuart that just aren't his gig, you know, such as urethral play and things like that. But he's tried them. And, you know, and I know other people that I've been with in terms of clients as well. And it's a very specific interest and a very specific fetish that individuals have with that. For example, the urethral play, that you really have to be into that. But, you know, the environment that I'm in is open and accepting and caring and nurturing, as I said before. And I want him to be able to be in a home that is his home, where he can feel he can do whatever he wants. And I mean, I know he's explained some of this to his family as well, not in full detail or great detail. I mean, mind you, he did have a brother-in-law and checked around online and found some stuff, but he was very educated about asking us about this. And that the honesty, I think, is really important in regards to, for example, cross-dressing or the bondage or, you know, the mummification, things like that, the use of duct tape, all those different things. And that, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg on one aspect of a fetish interest that happen to be, you know, elements of our life on a regular basis. But there are so many other different things that, you know, Stuart's not into and that I've done with clients because I've wanted to fulfill my need for exploration and understanding to grow with it and not necessarily be into it myself. So, I just like I said, I always try, and I know I admit that I get a little overexcited sometimes, to the point where it's like, ooh, I kind of overstepped my boundaries of, you know, doing something that was safe, sane, and consensual. I mean, everything was always consensual and generally sane, but sometimes, you know, being a little overzealous, it's like, ooh, I was too fast on that, or I was too quick to do this, and that caused a little bit of pain, right? So,
obviously, Your sexual relationship is healthy, and you obviously, you know, you get along.
Yeah, I like to think it's very healthy. I mean, we do, I guess, suffer from anything that all regular couples do, and that sometimes it's the time constraints to actually engage in sexual activity, you know, on a regular basis, because we are both so busy, and I've got so much on the go that I'm really enjoying. But when we do find the time, it's you know, which is, well, it's weekly. We,
oh, better be.
Better be. It's just like, oh my God, if it wasn't, I'd be going crazy. I mean, you know, not only just me, but him. I mean, he's a very sexual man, this guy. And I mean, almost to the point where I've almost met my match, if not been surpassed with that.
I always get into trouble.
He always is into trouble. I mean,
which leads to a question. And I wasn't going to ask this, but now I'm going to because you said that. So for you, Stuart, now, Velvet, obviously, I assume that you know other transsexuals. Mm-hmm. And I assume that you know other transsexuals that are probably quite attractive. Mm-hmm. So for you, Stuart, you're now sort of deep into this. Are you feeling like you're in a bit of a smorgasbord now? I mean, you know, I mean, seriously, because you are, you're surrounded. You know, Velvet, you know, from what I gather, you know,
At times I have, yeah, because I mean, there's lots of people that are drawn to her. Right.
And those are just the circles in which, you know.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just people out of the blue, you know, they come up to her and say, hey, they've known her from here. They think she's sexy. And then I'm right there. And I mean, you know, it one time they were checking each other's breasts out and this other woman was so beautiful. I said, hey, can I have a nipple squeeze? Can I squeeze your nipples too? I mean, yeah, it's just sometimes I'm feeling left out. Right. So absolutely. I mean, sometimes it's a smorgasbord, but you know, you do it in a nice, fun way or whatever and try to include yourself. But I mean, just all in having fun. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I have, but I
got to say, though, in regards to what he's saying as well, I mean, you know, I know a lot of transsexuals out there, but, you know, we don't generally socialize. And that's one of the odd things out there. I mean, they're doing their thing. And there's this whole thing of, like, you know, strength in numbers. I wouldn't say strength in numbers. There's certainly, you know, when there's more of you together, you run the risk of being read, you know, that lovely term that we all use and read by the general public as being identified as, oh my God, they're transsexual. Look, there's a group of trannies walking down the street, there, kind of thing like that. So, and it's not something that's consciously done, but it serves to be something that happens. And we, you know, we are friendly. We all know each other and we all say hello and blah, blah, blah. And but they're not readily available in regards to a sexual sense. In regards to a sexual sense, most of the people that we end up having liaisons with or any sort of fun, goofy interaction when we're out, like as Stuart mentioned about the breast action, and that's happened on many occasions now that I think about it. There's suddenly
can I come to your next party?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, then I mean, one instance we were out at Celebrities Nightclub one night, and next thing you know, this girl, gorgeous girl, straight girl, and that our interaction seems to be with a lot of girls like that too, and guys, and they're heterosexual couples, and they're just drawn to us. And oh, wow, you're so hot! Well, the next thing you know, our tops are down, and Stuart's reaming on her nipples and twisting away like he's going for the radio dial there, kind of thing. And you know, that's
come on,
one.
Don't make me sound like the culprit there.
Well,
I watched you do it to her.
Well,
for
I know,
5 minutes.
And then he was right in there, and I was like, oh yeah, look at that, go baby, go, yeah, and, you know, that kind of thing. And I mean, that's not the only instance that that's ever happened, but it does seem to happen with straight, biological, genetic women and their boyfriends or their male friends or something like that. We don't find much in the way of interaction with other transsexuals.
Most of the time it's been, I mean, there's no harm or there's, you know, people don't come up. I mean, I like it when it's just harmless fun, people just appreciating you, right? I mean, we've also had the sexual predators too, where they just won't leave us alone. And it's like, hey, we're a couple, we love each other, we're just out here having a good time like everybody else, but we're not going home with you. We're not having sex with you, right? So you keep it at a fun level, right? So everyone can just enjoy their time.
So as far as your relationship goes, what kind of challenges have you had or hurdles, like legal or social issues, anything like that? I mean, there obviously are legal issues, I would assume, with... I mean, right now, Velvet, you are, for all intents and purposes, legally and otherwise, a woman, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so now you can legally marry, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose I'm wrong.
I have been married.
Legally married?
Yes.
In the eyes of...
In the eyes of the law, in the eyes of BC and everything else, legally married as man and woman, the amount of hoops that you have to jump through to change your identification, i.e. for your name or your gender, is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And going through this with, for example, you know, the worst... my bank, which I no longer bank with as well, they basically wanted to see documentation to prove that I had actually gone through gender reassignment. And I was like, wow, really? To change the M to an F?
On... Is that legal?
That's not legal. Not none whatsoever. And then when I presented that with them to my quote-unquote personal banker, as they call them, I mean, well, then things changed and it backed down and I was getting all this money. I mean, even, for example, going over to Equifax there. I mean, I will say Equifax because I don't like credit bureaus or, you know, credit reporting agencies. That's, you know, getting treated like crap there because what the girl was looking at through the glass at me and my ID, she felt it didn't correspond with what she felt that I was, you know, and literally, you know, you're under the microscope with all that sort of idea. So at the time, I had to go through all this gender stuff, all this name change, all this ID change to legally get married as a woman to a man. And then shortly after that, the whole open door for gay couples to marry happened here in Canada as well. And thank God. I mean, you know, but it was, that was a real serious trip in regards to that. And then as well, prior to getting married, having to inform companies and places of work for medical dental benefits, for example, all that sort of idea, you know, providing all this documentation. And it becomes so invasive and so offensive that really, why should it matter? If I'm with this person, this is my partner that I'm with, why would I not be entitled or allowed to have these things go on?
So you've jumped through all the legal hoops.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
done.
And paid a lot of money to get there. And that's right. What really frustrates me, too. It's just like, really? I have to do this?
So now Stuart's enjoying all the benefits of your hard work.
Yeah, exactly.
And nice timing, pal.
Yeah, I didn't have to do nothing. Just be myself.
Okay, so we're getting close to the end here. So I'm just going to ask you each the very same question, and we'll start with Velvet. How do you see your future with Stuart?
Well, I see my future with Stuart as a long-lasting thing. I mean, I'm in for the long haul, and however long that is, I hope it's going to be very fruitful and plentiful and loving and happy and nurturing and caring and things like that. And that's not to say that it's not going to be fraught with its, you know, fights and arguments and challenges that every couple goes through. I mean, I'm certainly expecting that, but I want to move forward. I feel safe, I feel secure, and I think he feels the same with me, at least I hope he does. And I want it to be long and fruitful. I mean, you know, at this point in my life that I have somebody who's interested in what my interests are, grounded, level-headed, and, you know, wanting to expand on the different things as well as supportive of my things, because it's not easy to be with me in particular, especially walking down the street and then seeing the amount of people that I know, actually that I don't even know, I should rephrase that, that are just have seen me in the media out there coming up to me and stopping me on the street to say hello and stuff like that. And I'm not the kind of person that will turn my back and be rude. And to be able to put up with that and for me saying hello to people and thank you very much, kind words, blah, 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 I think is really special.
Marriage? I put you on the spot here.
I'm not saying no to it. When we get to that hurdle, if it's going to be a hurdle, I don't think marriage should be a hurdle. That could possibly happen. I know Stuart's thoughts on that, but I'll let him answer that for you. But for me, I'm not going to say no to it, because if that's what it takes and that's what he wants, then I'd probably say yeah.
Okay, Stuart, your future in your eyes with Velvet.
My future in my eyes? Great. I want to see where it goes and go as long as I can. I mean, like she said, everyone has their challenges. Every couples have their challenges. And, you know, you just work through it. If it wasn't with her, it'd be with someone else. The way the world is now, I mean, it's just spinning so fast, right? But
and there's all those websites.
And there's all those websites. But I love her from the bottom of my heart. And you know what? I want to put in as much effort and love as I can right till the end. And all I can say is it's a home run.
Marriage?
Yeah, that's definitely in the cards. I mean, right from I was a kid, I always thought being married was the real tie of telling you love someone. I mean, that's what I grew up with, and I kind of took that and believe in it as well. So it's definitely there, yeah.
Next to impossible to say no.
Yeah, because I'll go home again.
Yes, exactly.
Get into trouble.
Right. So I was
the pit bull will get into trouble.
Okay.
Chained up, maybe that's a good thing.
Well, this, I think, has been an interesting conversation. Did you guys...
I think it's been really good.
Stuart, were you okay with everything?
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on the show, Adam.
You know, I think it's wonderful. And I just want all the listeners out there, too, to know that that's what I'm here for. I you know, dispelling some myths, and hopefully you're going to listen, learn, and laugh. And if you got any questions, I expect people to send them my way. I want to, you know, answer all that stuff.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, guys. This was fun and educational.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.